In the 1920s and 1930s, one of the greatest non-Catholic theologians was a man by the name of Karl Barth, who was originally from Switzerland but was living in Germany and teaching in the university there. But in 1935, he was expelled from Germany because he wouldn't take an oath of allegiance to Adolf Hitler. So he went back to his home country and settled in Basel, where he came from. In 1937, on one occasion, Karl got onto a tram in the middle of Basel and sat down next to a man who was with him. And the chap said, turned to him and said, "Oh, you know, do you live here?" He said, "Because I'm just visiting." He said, "Oh no, I'm from here." The guy said, "Oh great." He said, "I'm really looking forward to being in Basel." He said, "Because that's one of the places I've wanted to do on my travels." I said, "Oh, what particularly do you want to do?" He said, "Well, I'd like to meet Karl Barth." He said, "He's a great man. Do you know him, by the way?" And he said, well, actually, I give him a shave every morning." The man said, "Oh, that's fantastic. How amazing is that? Oh, hang on, this is my stop. I've got to get off." So he got off the tram, and Karl never saw him again. But the following day, the man was going round telling all his friends, "I had a great day yesterday. I met Karl Barth's barber." Didn't recognize he'd realized he'd met the man. But that's a bit like today's gospel. You know, these people didn't recognize Jesus. I mean, how stupid is that? You know? I mean, when he started talking to them and telling all these things, why didn't he say, "Oh, by the way, who are you?" You know? But they didn't, did they? You know? But imagine not recognizing Jesus and you're one of his main followers. Well, I've done it dozens of times, haven't you? Failed to recognize Jesus? You know, it's easy at times because we see what we want to see. We hear what we want to hear. I mean, have you ever walked through the Bear Pit in Bristol or down into Broadmead and seen someone there with a dog sitting next to them asking for any change that you got? Have you stopped and interacted with them? Or have you kept your head down or pretend you're having a meeting on a phone or whatever just to ignore them and miss the opportunity of seeing Jesus in someone else? Or you're on holiday, you know, at the beach, the seaside, nice, beautiful day. And there you are, and on a bench as you're walking along, you see a woman in tears and you just carry on going, leaving her, not realizing that today is the first anniversary of the death of her young child, a woman with a broken heart who just needs someone to reach out and share her pain, just needs someone to be a friend for a few moments and sit there. But we miss the opportunity. You know, it's so easy to miss those opportunities. I mean, have you seen Jesus today? Well, let me explain to you what the church says. "Where two or three of you are gathered in my name, there I am. So, turn your heads and look around, because Jesus is in here." Go on, have a look. Turn your heads, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Yes. Whether you recognize it or not, you've just seen Jesus. And you've been Jesus for someone else, whether you recognize it or not. Because he is in us and with us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the resurrection of Emmanuel. God is with us. Not the God who goes to heaven and slowly closes the doors and stays there, but a God who's here and now. You've heard of Mother Teresa. Of course you have. Yeah? Every time she was in the gutters dealing with people with maggot-infested bodies who were slowly dying, she saw the face of Christ. Why? Because she looked for the face of Christ everywhere and realized that the face of Christ so often is not in the beautiful influences on your on your clever telephone that went off at 3 o'clock this afternoon, or whatever. You know, that's not where you'll see Christ. You're more likely to find him in the gutter than on anywhere else. On the margins of society, walking with those who are broken, hobbling along with them, hoping that someone will see him in there and help them. That is the God we have. That is the God who calls us to look for him, to search for him. And when we do, we will find him. And that will transform our lives. Imagine if you can for a moment, standing before the throne of God on the day of judgment and wondering what's going to be said about you. And then they start coming forward, out from the crowd, here and there and there, they come forward. Faces you don't know, and they must be for the prosecution, surely. But no. You were the person who helped me over the road with a heavy bag when you were 8 years old and I was an old woman. You were that kind young man who stopped and gave me a lift in the rain, even though you didn't know me. You were that girl who sat next to me and listened to my story when no one else would. All these various people coming forward and speaking for us because we had seen the face of Christ even though we hadn't recognized it, and reached out to help somebody. Being a follower of Christ does not mean wearing blinkers and walking right behind him. It means taking them off and actively looking for him and saying, where? Where is the Lord in this situation? And when we do that, we change our lives and the lives of the people we interact with, because we become the hands and the mouth of God. What did Jesus do with these two people on the road? He spoke to them. And in their grief, they couldn't recognize him. But as he journeyed with them, their vision and understanding changed. Their sorrow became joy. Jesus is our model, and he will use you and I in ways like that. So are we open to seeing Jesus in others? Because if we are, the future is absolutely amazing.